Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan Podcast. And today we're here with Stephen Sommers. I'm really excited to have Stephen here today because he is the co-founder and CEO of Marketplace Superheroes. And if you know me, I'm pretty much the biggest Marvel super fan. So, I mean, my first question for Stephen today is, are you Marvel or are you DC?
Oh, God.
So answer correctly or we might kick you out. No, I'm just kidding.
I already heard of what you are, but I would say DC, but only because I'm a huge Batman fan, but equally the Marvel movies on the balance, probably better than the DC movies. Yeah.
Awesome. Good diplomatic answer. I love it.
There you go. I gave you a bit of both.
I had somebody tell me once, they're like, hey, you should only allow people on who are Marvel fans. And I'm like, I'm not going to limit my market. Yeah, but Russell Brunson is a DC fan.
Yeah, that's it. But just think of how good, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, not so much The Dark Knight Rises, but those movies, they're so good. I love those movies.
Good stuff. Well, I'm going to finish your intro. I totally interrupted myself, but so Stephen's created an 8-figure company, really helping people in the Amazon space, selling online. And I mean, you've helped 8,000 people do it, and you've built multiple 8-figure companies. I mean, he knows what he's doing when it comes to selling physical products in a digital world. And so Stephen, I'm excited to talk about that with you today, especially because people know this about me. We pretty much sell digital and service-based businesses. We don't actually have any physical products businesses. So maybe this entire episode could be you convincing me to start a physical products business.
I don't think it will, because we actually do all of those things, including digital and services. And actually, in Marketplace Superheroes, digital and services are a huge part of what we do. But yeah, we do all of those things. So I can talk about anything you want.
I love it. Well, and I would really like to know, and I was joking about, selling me on it, but I really would like to know why would you actually start, and when would you actually start a physical products business on Amazon?
Well, yeah, I think as well, it's good to define how we do, how we sell on Amazon versus say how others do. So there's two broad approaches to that, right? We have the marketplace approach, we call it. And then I would say there's the brand approach is the second approach. So the brand approach, just to cover that, it's what a lot of people teach, which is create a brand, you're in a specific niche or niche, as you guys would say. And your goal then is to use Amazon as a distribution channel while also building your own platform and all that. And that has absolutely, a place in the world. That's if you want to call it a really ultimate legit business, that's the way to go. Whereas what we do, it's every bit as legit in our mind, just a little different. Is a lot of our audience, they don't have Facebook ads knowledge. They're a little bit older. They're not really techie, and they've never had a business before, most of them. So to start a business like that, figure out Facebook ads, acquisition costs, funnels, front ends, back ends, it's a lot. So the way we go about Amazon is we treat it almost like a stock market, where we look at what's going on the platform, where are there products that are low in competition, and the offers that are out there are not very good. And we can simply go into that market, compete against what's already out there with a better offer, better listing, and all the rest, and have our own brand on that product. And we can sell it against the items in there. And the real difference between us and a lot of people, there's a few, I'd say three main differences in this. The first difference is that we don't sell hyper-competitive products. We stay well away. We are selling the covers that cover the feet of a washing machine to stop it scratching the floor, right? That's kind of what our members and what we're selling. That's a big difference. And the second thing is we sell in multiple countries on Amazon. So we don't just sell in .com, even though that's a huge market for us. We sell in Europe. So Amazon.co.uk, Germany, France, Italy, Spain. We sell in Canada as well. And some of our members sell in Mexico, as well as Australia, we also sell there. So that's the second piece. And the third thing about Marketplace Superheroes then that makes us different from everybody else is most Amazon people in this space sell a course and it's see you later, right? Whereas with us, we've taken all of the money we've made from training and coaching and everything and put it back into the business. So we currently run a freight company called Superhero Freight, where basically people can tap into our freight network, save a ton of money, make importing from China easy. And I say easy because I mean it, because we literally do 90% of the work for our members. We have services like translation services, listing services, everything you can imagine is all, it's all inside our software ecosystem. So we very much partner with our members. We actually invest in our members as well, our own money, which is different to a lot of course creators. So I think when you wrap all that up together, what we have is a very specific approach to how we sell on Amazon in multiple countries, a small number of units per day in the multiple countries. And then finally, we partner with our members to make it easy by basically giving them everything they need service-wise to make it a reality, rather than just be like, there's a freight forwarder, there's a translations company, there's a this, there's a that. And then people, you know, they get stuck, you know? So there you go.
Yeah. And I really, I like that because what it's, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it sounds like your strategy is instead of let's make a product and sell it to the market, you're saying whatever the market wants, we'll just give it to them. Is that kind of your approach?
Yeah, absolutely. We fulfill demand. We do not create demand. And that's a great business rule for any business, really. Like, you know, even our freight company, good example, because I know your listeners, many of them, you know, they're at 6-7 figure range, maybe trying to figure out what they can do to grow, et cetera. And that was one of the big things we did. Like, we were selling our course and all of that and doing well. But then a couple of things happened. One, I started learning from Jay Abraham, who I mentioned to you before we started. And he talks about the three ways to grow a business, right? So more clients, more sales. Way number two, higher average transaction value. Way number three, sell to your existing customers more often. So we looked at that and we're like, well, what are the problems our clients actually have? Like, how can we fulfill that demand? And the biggest problem many of our clients had was they were bringing in small orders from China, super expensive to do that. So we're like, well, how can we make it that we can save them a bunch of money and give them a better service? Because freight forwarders are awful. Like, we've worked with them for years. They're just terrible. So we thought, well, initially we partnered with freight forwarders to try to offer this about 3 years ago. And nightmare, you know, started well, then weren't getting the service levels, they started charging them more money. And we didn't have enough money at the time ourselves to do this because starting a freight company is no mean feat. But we've done it now completely self-funded. We have a 30,000 square foot warehouse in Houston, Texas. We've got, you know, pretty much the same in Northern Ireland for Europe. And we have a smaller warehouse in Australia and Canada. So that helped us then multiply our business because people didn't go to other freight providers, they came to us. So we shipped 2 million items this year in 2020. Well, this might be going out in 2021, but 2 million items were in 2020. We would expect 3 million in 2021. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is amazing. And what I love about your story with that is you took a need of the customers of your course and said, how do we make it even easier for them? I mean, that's the best course owners, in my opinion, are the ones who will do that. And they're very far few between, right?
And again, it's hard, man, because like we're just about opening our Canadian warehouse and just opened the doors at $750,000 of investment, you know, for racking and the warehouse and staff and insurance and all that kind of stuff, right? So it is a quote unquote risk. And I suppose if you're a course creator that's very focused on you know, lifestyle business and stuff like that, then you're not going to want to take that on, you know. But myself and Robert, we're that phase where it's like, you know, we could just sell courses and we could live a really nice lifestyle, but you know, why not make a bigger impact? So we're all in, and it's been huge, you know, because we've doubled our business in a pandemic because we've just stayed true to what we do. Our clients, they're growing with us, and obviously Amazon has kind of blown up this year, as has all e-commerce due to good old Corona.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. A lot of people are like, is your business okay during this time? And I'm like, if you have anything that's even slightly digital, it's a great time to be alive. People are spending more.
Yeah. I was like a lot of people though, whenever it first kind of started kicking off, you know, March, April, I was really unsure. I was like, I don't know how this is going to do. But in our space, you know, I don't say we're in the make money space. We're in the build a business space. That's what I always say, because, you know, make money space is not a good space to be in. It's a weird one. But anyway, in our space of building a business, especially an online business, it turns out like obviously loads of people were working in jobs and they were not happy and they're kind of going along with it because that's what you do in their minds. And then being furloughed and things like that, everybody saw, well, my employer could just get rid of me actually just get rid of me, not like, you know, theoretically, but actually. And I feel it pushed a lot of our community to action and to start actually getting serious about bringing in these products, these weird products that make sales every day. And that's kind of cool. You know, it's not cool, but it's cool that they've done it, but it's crap that it took a pandemic for people to take it more seriously, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I do think though, it's cool that people like you have been inspiring that change in people instead of panicking and, you know, living in a tent and saying, what can I do? Right.
You know, that's not comfortable.
Yeah, no, I am not. But
whenever actually, funny you say that, because whenever the first wave hit, I literally jumped on every day and streamed to our community, non-buyers as well as our members. So everybody heard from me pretty much every day, as well as other people on our team. And we've kept that going, that regular connection with our audience, and it's paid massive dividends, you know? So I feel like there was a big opportunity for a lot of people to really connect with their audience and show them that they're not going anywhere, like you just said. And I feel that people that did that, you know, they just bonded themselves much more to their clients.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Well, and I want to ask you a question about this, because I'm sure this is a problem you have to help people overcome frequently. But one of the reasons most people will lean towards a digital product or a service is because there's no barriers to entry, right? Yeah. It's not going to cost them anything. It's not going to take a lot of time to learn how to do it. So for you, you know, like a lot of the people entering into the e-commerce space, it just seems so daunting because, oh, there's, I have to deal with freight and all this stuff. So what's kind of the actual cost of starting a business, and how do you help people mitigate that?
Yeah. So I'd say sub $5,000, you can be fully launched with one product, maybe two products of your own brand on Amazon. And so I have a lot, like I could talk all day about this, right? But one of the biggest things we see is something we call the coffee shop reality, right? So where you live right now, Josh, right? Like how much would you think it would cost roughly to start a coffee shop in your local town or city? Roughly, what would you say?
Cool. The building and everything else, probably a couple $100,000 to start.
Yeah, exactly, right? A few $100,000 for sure. And ask to sell, you know, lattes, Americanos and stuff, right? Which I'm not demeaning that, but I'm just saying like, that's the real cost, right? So start an online business then, you know, a lot of people that I speak to, before they get to know us, they're very concerned with cost and they're very focused on how can I like get the least amount of money into my business. And I always tell people, do you want to make the least amount or the most amount? Everyone says, I want to make the most. And I'm like, well, look, you have to understand to get a business going, especially a physical business, any business though, there's money you got to put in. And it's a little bit like, you know, if someone who's a downhill skier and at the end, they jump up on the ramp. I'm not a downhill skier. I don't know all the terminology, but that's the whole thing. You got to go down first before you can soar back up again. Kind of the same thing here, you know, you got to put money into your business, downward movement of resources before you get the upward movement of, I've got products in stock, I've got assets now. And that's a problem that a lot of people, I see a lot of people have. They've never experienced what it actually means to own an asset. And therefore, they're so focused on the cost. And I heard a program a couple of years back. It was a bit of a cheesy program, but it was some really good stuff in it. And one of the best things this guy said was, he said, rich people, and I don't really like that term, but you know what I mean? Just for now, rich people, let's just say, right? Millionaires, whatever. They focus on how much they're going to make. Whereas let's call them poor people, which I don't like that terminology, but just make it easy. Poor people, financially unsuccessful people, whatever, they focus on the cost. And I was that person for a lot of my life. How much is that going to cost me? Rather than saying, well, how much is it going to make? Because I had one guy even today was talking about some subscription thing, software, let's just say it was 97 a month or whatever. And he was kind of complaining about that. And I was like, dude, like it's like $3 a day, right? Or €3, £3. It's nothing. Like that's nothing. You're focused on the cost and that's why you won't make money. And so that's just a little bit of a comment on the question. But yeah, like to launch a business for a product about $800 to $3,000 max, and about sub $5,000 less than that, you'll launch the business. But you know, you will not grow a six-figure income on $5,000 investment, it'll be a case of getting a few products into stock, proving the model to yourself, and then you got to start scaling up. Put more money into the business, put your profits back into the business and things like that. But we've got so many members now who started from scratch and are now hitting the seven-figure mark in revenue at about a 30% net profit. So making, you know, $250,000, $300,000 net profit before corporate tax. Which is really good. So, you know, with tons of successful members, and I think it's a great business to learn business, you know?
Yeah, I love that, especially that analogy. So thank you for explaining that. You know, I'm focusing on what you'll make and not what it will cost. And I think you just summed it up by saying there's a 30% margin. I mean, and that's appealing to people like me who are saying, well, you know, I can make an 80 to 95% margin on a course where, you know, and you're saying, hey, make a 30% margin, but that's the kind of thing where your money's working for you.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, it's true, right? So like, I think as well, that's another thing too, right? Like you don't really make 80% or 90% selling a course, right? That's not true either, right? Because there's costs. Like, I mean, in our business now, we send over 1 million emails a month. So, you know, our email bill from SendGrid is serious. Our staff bill is huge because we've got tons of services and all that. So I think as well, it depends on the level you want to operate on, right? And what you just said there is so true though. Like ultimately, the beautiful thing about a physical product business, you really can divorce your time from effort. And with a course business, you know, I think a great course business, you'll always have to put time into it. I do think there are people who have real lifestyle course businesses for sure, but you know, they'll never grow beyond the lifestyle because just things you got to do in order to grow beyond that. Now with an Amazon business, for example, you can literally run an Amazon business that's doing seven figures in revenue at about 8 hours a week. You know, you really can, because Amazon are doing so much of the work for you. Right. Equally though, I love courses. I sell tons of them, you know, so I love all these businesses. And so what I've learned really is if I can have my finger in all the pies, great. Cause like, that's one of the biggest things we've done is take our money, invest it back into members. So we do an equity split with our members and stuff like that to help them grow, but also, you know, for ourselves, have a fund of businesses. So we probably, I think Robert, my business partner, said we'd have a few hundred products in our range this year between all the different businesses we're involved in, you know, and that's powerful as well. So I think a few things in that we could unpack if you want to, but that's my kind of take.
Yeah, no, I love that response. I mean, I think you were throwing in little nuggets there too of people who might be saying, you know, is this a type of business for me? I mean, I love the fact that you said, you know, you can divorce yourself time-wise from the business because, especially if you're looking, you know, and a lot of the people here who, you know, you've built a six-figure business or a seven-figure business, and you're looking for maybe something else because you're like, I don't know if I want to keep scaling this one. I mean, that's, if you have the cash up front and you can leverage that into a business where you can divorce yourself time-wise from it, that might be what you're more interested in. You know, maybe you want more time.
Yeah. And I think it depends. Like, I mean, I'm at the stage in my career now where I used to not have money and now I have money and now that becomes a problem. Because, you know, like if you have a lot of money sitting in your business bank account, let's just say, and it's doing nothing, that's inefficient anyway. So even with me now, I'm still looking at other ways I can grow little businesses that I don't have to put a whole bunch of time into. I can take my money and I can do that. You know, there's a couple of little projects I'm working on now, bringing in people to help me with those. So I think it's very appealing from that perspective, but also not everyone has that same issue. And my hope is that everybody will one day have that issue. But like, we've got a guy, Steve is his name. I don't want to give his full name just in case he's not happy with me doing it. He's a dentist. He's a dentist from the States, very successful dentist, makes a lot of money personally. But of course he's in doing the dental work every day. So he actually said, look, he came to our event in Ireland. We did boot camp there a few years back and he came over to that. He had no business whatsoever. I remember him and his wife been there and listened to what we said. You know, launched a couple of products in 2018 and then a good lot more in 2019. And I think now a few of the products took off and he didn't add too many more. But I believe he's going to do $1 million this year or close to, as far as I'm aware. And he's not putting in a ton of time because Amazon do a lot of the work. So it's very appealing for him. He's at that point now where he's like, if I can get this to a couple of million a year, you know, and I'm making 30% and whatever, you know, he's still able to pull out more than he was making as a dentist, but he's got a bit more freedom. But also the way he sees it, I believe, is I can kind of have both, you know, which is kind of nice. Whereas, you know, doing courses and coaching and stuff like that, I know from experience that, like, you know, unless you have a team behind you, it's difficult to say be a full-time dentist and have some big course thing, because you'll be working all day, you know, most likely. So that's, yeah, but I'm not bashing courses. I mean, I sell tons of my love courses. I'm just trying to give I suppose a balanced view on all these businesses, because equally I love service businesses. Like, I love our freight company. It's an amazing long-term business, but short-term it's not good profit, like profit-wise, it's not good, but it's a different business. We're not looking for it to make money in the short term. We want to make money in the long term, you know?
Right. Well, and I like that you've covered, I mean, physical products, digital products, service businesses. I mean, those are kind of what I would call the big three, you know?
Yeah. And
I feel like that's about as diversified as you can get in a business sense, right? Especially where you've bootstrapped all of them. So I really appreciate your opinion on it, because, and I hope everybody else appreciates that as well, because it allows you to see the weaknesses and the strengths of all of them.
For sure.
So let me ask you this. If you had to start over from scratch and you only had 90 days to make a livable income, which of those three businesses would you build?
Well, it wouldn't be a physical products business. I can tell you that now. The reason for that is that it's not good short term. In 90 days, I wouldn't even be in stock, because it takes, let's just say I knew the idea, I could be in stock, but it would take 30 days to produce the item, 30 days, more than 30 days to get it into stock, right? So that's gone. The business I would choose is, and I've done it this year to prove the model. I mentioned it here before we started. I would go and find someone who already has an audience, be it on YouTube, Instagram, whatever. I would partner with them, and I would be the person that monetizes them. So we did it this year with a guy in the auto detailing industry. We just did it as an experiment, really. And he's a brilliant presenter, and he's a great channel and everything. It's called Wilson Auto Detailing is the channel. Luke, very, very smart young guy. We basically just helped Luke take his audience. He had literally no one on email list. So we just built a simple opt-in for him. We had like 12,000 people on the email list then within like 2 months or something like that. While we were preparing his course program, where he was teaching people basically how to build an auto detailing business on the side. So he already had an audience interested in that. Never built a list, never did anything like that. And as I say, in our first webinar, it was unbelievable. Like, we had over 2,000 people registered for the webinar, which is, I'd never done that before in my own business. Crazy numbers. And, you know, we had 900 odd people on the webinar. And we sold like 305 courses of $400. So it was amazing. And so if I had more time, I would do a lot more of that. But that's what I would do. Exactly what I would do. And I've been telling, it's something I'm going to develop more in 2021, is that, because I've done it numerous times now. And I really feel like for people that are like me, I was a data processor when I started out. I was not in business. I had to learn Amazon first, and I was studying all the marketing stuff on the side, if you want to call it that. And then eventually it made sense for us to share our Amazon knowledge because, well, we couldn't sell all the products in the world. And a lot of the courses were just terrible. So we felt like we had something to offer that market. But just to say, like, now with all the marketing knowledge I have, I feel like I can pass that on to somebody, and they can take, like, you know, you mentioned Russell, say, like, take .com secrets, expert secrets, that kind of content. And they have somewhere to apply it now. Cause I had the same problem everybody else does. I didn't have any knowledge. I was a data processor. Like, so what could I sell? I'm not an expert in anything. And that's why, that's a model I really believe in, actually, is in addition to what we're talking about.
Yeah. I love that answer. That's really cool. And what a cool strategy, because you're talking about really a true joint venture, a long-term JV, where you come in and say, hey, let's split profits. You bring the audience. I bring the marketing know-how. Let's do it.
Yeah. And again, just to be clear, that wasn't the arrangement I had with Luke, just so everybody knows. He's doing his own thing, and it's great. And I wish him all the best now. We just had a simple thing, and it just didn't work out long-term for me, just with everything else going on and with himself. So he's going to do great though. I mean, he has the basis now, but yeah, like, if I was doing it with other people, I would start it as a joint venture, as you just mentioned. I'd probably own the platform myself, and then we share it out, you know, that kind of thing. That's all stuff we'll be covering if we do decide to teach it. But it's the same model really I've done with Marketplace Superheroes. Like, yes, I am an Amazon expert, but my business partner, Robert, I would say is much longer, more established expert than me. He's brilliant at, like, he's just brilliant at the numbers behind the business and stuff like that. A great mentor. And like that, I was able to bring my marketing knowledge along with that and build something. I do think though, like I started from scratch in 2015, man, it's a tough role building your own audience. Like, you know, it is better if you can tap into something that's already working. They've already done the hard work of getting the audience. They just didn't know how to monetize. And there's a surprising amount of people like that. If you go to YouTube, I mean, how many people have got Patreon links in their bios or in their descriptions? Like, they're all people that could be clients or partners because they don't know how to make money. They would not be using Patreon if they knew how to make money.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And honestly, Patreon, I completely agree.
Patreon is, look, it's great for those guys, but at the end of the day, with a Stripe account and a ClickFunnels account, you could make that in 2 seconds, you know, but
you wouldn't pay out a fat percentage to Patreon.
Yeah. And again, like I'm just saying, like, I'm giving people another way to think, right? But I mean, Patreon are doing a good thing for those creators and that's cool. But yeah, that would be my take on that.
Love that. Well, I appreciate that answer. Again, just because you've got so much perspective on it. A lot of people I'll ask that question to, they've only done one thing, right? So it's
cool. Yeah.
About it multiple times.
Yeah. And I think it's a problem in the course space anyway, right? Because a lot of people, like, you know, you say, to teach course creation, and it's like, what did you do before that? Well, I kind of talk course creation, and it's like, okay, well, when did you do a business that wasn't like teaching courses, right? And I think that's a bit of a problem we have, you know. It's same with coaching, you know, I coach people how to coach and all that. And I actually do think there's a place. You do need someone to teach you how to create your course. Absolutely. You do need someone teaching you how to be a coach, but I always like it when someone has done other things, like you said, because I've started now multiple companies from scratch with Robert and different people in our team. And it gives us a lot of perspective and it really teaches you what's important and what's not important. And the truth is, most people are focused on what's not important out there. They're focused on the shiny stuff rather than the effective stuff that's going to work, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Well, and you also mentioned to me before the interview, you had something you wanted to give to our audience. So could you explain what that was and tell them where to get it?
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to just tell you how to do it, which is even better. And what I wanted to talk about was a promotional calendar in your business. So a lot of people here, you mentioned, Josh, they're already up and running, right? Which is great. And the thing that changed my life in Marketplace Superheroes was looking at what we call 12 week years. Well, I don't call it that, but the book does, 12 week years, good book. And we realized, wow, we can actually get a year's worth of progress in 12 weeks. That's amazing. It doesn't even seem possible. But what we started doing was looking at it and going, okay, well, how long does like a promotion take us? So let's say we're promoting a new program, 2 weeks. Cool. So we mark in on those weeks. Two of those weeks are gone now because they're going to be for that promotion. And obviously we have a whole system behind how we do promotions. But just for now, just think about that, right? You just plot it in 2 weeks of that. And you're like, well, I'm not going to promote something straight away because I've just promoted something heavily. I'm going to do a couple of weeks of value. So really focus on a bit of value for 2 weeks. Then be like, I've got a small offer to promote. I'm going to do a week-long promotion there. Now we've got 5 weeks accounted for of 12 weeks, right? And what you can start to do then is, between yourself and your team, start focusing on what can we do to make those promotions interesting? How can we make it that it's something our audience haven't seen before? Let's not just do a webinar. Let's do a video series for this one. And you can start to mark that out. And I just found by focusing on those 12 weeks like that and plotting out your promotions, you will multiply your business very quickly because you're getting focused on the third way to grow a business that I mentioned, which is selling to your existing customers more often. At the same time, you can imagine a spreadsheet like this. Have on the left-hand side your non-buyers, left-hand side your buyers, right-hand side your non-buyers, or to the right. And you want a 12-week promotional system for them too. Sometimes it'll be the same offer as your buyers. That's fine. But then with your non-buyers, especially if you have a bit of an email list, start thinking about low-ticket, low-friction offers that you can put out to those people that will help them get into a buying relationship with you and start plotting them out on your calendar. And when you do that, we call this perpetual launching because in between we've got value. even during promotions, we evaluate. We have two YouTube videos go out every single week and a podcast episode. So my whole thing now is you want a blend of content, you want a blend of connection. We do a stream every Wednesday to our members. We do a stream every Friday. I'm gonna do a stream every Sunday. So we have connection, we have content, and then we have our promotions that are happening all around that. I call that perpetual launching, where you're always launching something, but it never feels like it because you've got a great balance of content and connection as well as an offer. And I know for a fact, if you listening today start looking at your business in 12-week cycles and plot it out, you're going to grow very, very quickly.
So yeah, I love that. And so where can they get that access to that?
I don't have that anywhere. I was building a whole thing on it, so I don't have it anywhere. Is the bad news. But I will put something together on my own site, stephensummers.com. I'll get something together over there, maybe /Josh or something like that, and I'll give them a little map or something like that that they can download. It's something I'm honestly been working on. I've shown it to a few people who have businesses, and they've more than doubled their company fairly quickly doing this. And it's a blend. Like, this is the thing. I've taken so many programs, so many mentorships. I've always had to blend everybody's methods together to make a system. And so this is my system, really, after blending so many programs together, so many good people. No one seemed to have one growth engine that just made sense. So we've been implementing it. And like I say, we doubled our business this year. So that was good.
I love that. I mean, I love the methodology because I think the number one problem that most people have when like doing email promotion is that, you know, is it's like, how do I do this without making it feel like I'm constantly saying buy this, you know? Exactly. And I love that.
Yeah. And again, like you have the other thing that no one's going to tell you either, but I think it's really important to know is like, you need to have different ways to promote things. So even with a webinar, like people listening, maybe they do the perfect webinar, for example. Well, you know, the perfect webinar is great. I use it all the time, but don't just use the perfect webinar, right? There's other models. Excuse me. Another model out there I really like is the Russ Ruffino model, which they call the 5-shift model, which essentially it's just a perfect webinar, but there's 5 shifts instead of 3 secrets. And it's more about, well, these shifts are the things that help me succeed. And if you can make those shifts in your own business, you can do well. So like, you have to have different types of webinars. You also then have to be thinking about, okay, well, what did I do? What did we do in our last promo? We did a webinar, right? Well, what else can we do now to make it more interesting? Is a video series going to be the best thing? Should we do a video sales letter? And that becomes the thing. And I find even our YouTube content, and our channel is growing. It's like nearly 15,000 subscribers for Marketplace Superheroes, but it's doing really well to hold on to viewers because we're constantly trying to, you know, do a case study 1 week, and then the other video would be a product research video. Then the next week, well, we know product research does well. So it's like a different way of delivering a product research video. And then on the Thursday video, it might be like 5 products that could work well for you. Like we're always trying to change it up. Whereas whenever we do, like, it's the same research video on a Monday, case study on a Thursday, we just keep doing that. Yes, it's consistent, but people get bored, you know? So same thing in your promotions. Like, you have to be thinking constantly, how can I make this fresher? And it's the same thing with your offers. Like, you can sell the same thing in so many different ways. And like, and in, with total integrity, like we have the amount of different programs we have around product research is unreal. But they're all required because they all provide a different level of support, a different way of looking at research, and they all have a reason for being, you know? So there's so much you can do with a business when you start thinking in this way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that, man. I thank you for giving that to our audience because, like you said, there's not even a place to go for it. Stephen's not here to promote to you guys, to sell his stuff. And I love that because, I mean, he's here to help really provide true value. So pay attention to this interview, go back and listen to it a few times, take notes, because he's literally just given you the roadmap to success, to making $1 million, in my opinion, in this interview.
Oh yeah. If you've got an audience, you got people who bought something from you, and I'm telling you now, if you just sell a course, for example, let's say you've got 200 people bought a course from you. Let's just say it's $1,000 or whatever. Like, you have the power to sell, and just very quickly, another 20 to 40 higher priced, you know, versions of that program with a bit more support, etc., maybe at $5,000 or $8,000. So like, you, even that one little thing, put together a good promotion and offer that, but a great offer, there's money right there. It's just sitting there. And it's money that your audience want to give you because you're helping them more. You're actually giving them the roadmap. One more thing I'll say as well, with any kind of online course business, service business, like, try as much as you can to look at all the places that people are failing and finding it hard, and build a service for them. You know, find somebody you can build it with even, and bring it to your audience, because course businesses are awesome. But here's the reality is, just selling a course forevermore, it's not a necessarily a sustainable long-term business. You know, just information. The world is changing very quickly, and we have to start moving into providing some services and building, dare I say, like, you know, a real business, right? Even though a course business is a real business, it's just adding in things that the world accepts a bit more actually will make your life better in the long term, because you own something that has real tangible equity value, you know, and that's important too.
Yeah, love that. Well, and Stephen, let me ask you one final question before we sign off, man. So yeah, we've covered a lot of different topics in this interview, and people are probably saying, okay, I've got a lot to go back and listen to. So I want to ask you this. If there was one takeaway that you would hope people would get from this interview, what would that be?
Well, knowing your audience, I would be dealing in 12-week years for sure. But I'll give you another one just to be sure that everyone gets this. The biggest one for everybody though, and I still tell myself this, is be a producer, not a consumer. And that comes from The Millionaire Fastlane, one of my favorite books. But that one little idea coupled with, to help basically to get what you want, you got to help enough other people get what they want. This is a Zig Ziglar quote you probably heard before. But if you really think about those two things, how can I produce more? Then how can I help other people get what they want, and therefore I get what I want? In my opinion, that's the formula for actual wealth, because you can build any business with that. You know, we made a whole bunch of money in the auto detailing industry, and I don't know how to even detail a car. I have no clue. So so that's because I know how to be a producer, you know? So that'd be the things I would say.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.